You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, Daredevil darlings and darths darting through the darkness. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 210. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your multimedia medley of meddlesome medalists who meditate about medieval medicine.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Do you meditate about medieval medicine?
I do. I think like bloodletting, like, you know, kind of gruesome medieval medicinal practices. You're like, they're on the right track. But like they know something about bacteria or something, but like just not quite it.
Right. Yeah. Right. My favorite period of a lot of scientific discovery is that phase of we know that it works. We don't know why it works. Like I love that phase reading about really just pretty much any any scientific discovery.
Yeah. It's funny how it's like, oh, it's the bad spirits that are doing it. And you're like, huh? Yeah.
It's like you're kind of right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep going. You're getting warmer. Colin, you have a news item for us.
Oh, I did. I had something in classic Good Job Brain news item. I thought you guys, I'm hoping you didn't see it just for the sake that I can tell you, but you may have. Did you see there were reports in this past week coming from Poland of a variously reported as a mystery tree beast, a window monster? A dangerous beast sighted outside of some windows here. Okay, so I'm glad you guys did not see this. Yeah, I'll read you an article here from the BBC. When animal welfare officers received a report of an unusual animal lurking in a tree in the Polish city of Krakow, they were not sure what to expect. A woman had called in, I guess, to the animal control. She said, people aren't opening their windows because they're afraid it'll go into their house. But a visit to the area showed the creature in question was not a bird or even a reptile, but a croissant. credit to them for reporting, yeah. So the Krakow Animal Welfare Society said the incident was genuine. There was a desperate caller, you know, concerned this unidentified animal had been in the tree for 2 days. Might be a bird of prey, perhaps. She said, you know, or maybe, you know, it might have been an iguana. Now, at that point, you know, I think that the animal welfare officers, they were, I mean, suspicious is not the right word, but you guys, you know, you may not be surprised to hear that the native iguana population is in Krakow, Poland, not too high, yeah.
I don't want to make assumptions, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, they figured, all right, well, it's unlikely that it's a reptile kind of out on the streets. Maybe it's like somebody's animal, like an escaped pet or something. So they're like, all right, let's go out and check it out. So they showed up, yes. Arriving on the scene, however, the inspectors found the headless and limbless object in a lilac tree, a pastry, probably thrown out the window to feed the birds. So there was a very delightful post on
Facebook.
Police
promptly arrested the croissant. Have it booked on charges of loitering.
Do
you think it's because like different animals have been eating the croissant that like made the mystery tree beast evolve?
I think the silhouette
like, oh, you know, it looks like it's a bird because a bunch of birds are eating it, or like, oh, it looks like a cat, you know.
Well, luckily for all of us, if you read Polish, even better for you. On Facebook, they made a good post, and there's a photo. Now, I have to say, I don't know if they just make croissants differently out there, but this thing, it looks pretty big, I have to say. This looks like this could be like an 11-inch long croissant. To me, it looks like a croissant, but I knew it was a croissant before I saw the photo, so who am I to judge, right?
Okay, so it is a croissant stuck in between two branches upright.
It kind of looks like it maybe
I was thinking
there.
Like it's flat on like a tree trunk, and I was like,
right, just like resting there. Whew, we can all breathe a sigh of relief. Yeah, everybody now free to open their windows again.
Oh, I mean,
You know, I have to say, like, to their credit, in the dark, this, to me, it would look like some sort of, like, giant slug resting on a tree.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, bumpy and it's bulbous.
Maybe a cocoon for, like, the biggest butterfly you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Mothra-sized cocoon.
Oh, this is pretty funny. All right, well, without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hotshot. Here, I have a random Trivial Pursuit card. You guys have your Barnyard buzzers. Let's answer some questions. Here we go. Blue Wedge for geography. What is the most commonly eaten fruit in the world? Dana.
Is it tomatoes?
Incorrect. Oh,
good
that's
guess.
Good.
That's a
yeah,
good guess.
This is
good guess.
I wouldn't say this is a trick answer, but it's like you have to think about it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That was Colin.
I was going to guess maybe the fig.
Incorrect. Mm. But also, I can see you're kind of on the right track. All right,
I'm
Chris.
Just thinking
last answer.
Right,
here we go. Ready?
Old, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Chris, hit us up.
Dates.
You're also in the right realm, but you. I thought it was going to be like, oh, apple, that seems like a really common thing. But obviously, if you think about the world and where most people live, you know.
Mangoes or coconuts or
it
something.
It is mangoes.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mangoes. Most commonly eaten fruit in the world.
That's a good one.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're having some mango and sticky rice, you've got the most commonly eaten fruit and the most commonly eaten food, right? Yeah. And grain. Right. Yeah.
All right, Pink Wedge for pop culture. Which New York girl is the first woman to win a DGA award for best director of a TV comedy?
Wow.
And I said girl
there's
weird.
A lot going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. I said girl weird because it's in italics. I didn't know
which
how to.
In New York, girl.
Okay, so let me just reread it.
Okay.
New York girl. In italics, is the first woman to win a DGA award for best director of a TV comedy.
Is that Lena Dunham?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Lena Dunham.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
From the show
Girls. Okay.
Yeah.
I never know how old these Trivial Pursuit cards are. Like, that's obviously a very recent one, but then we have some that are, a million years old.
We have
some
from the 80s, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right, Yellow Wedge, which of the following words does not refer to the blue portion of the American flag? Canton, field, fly, or union?
Oh, this is good. I love this. I was just reading about some of these terms.
Let me reread again.
It's does
very wordy.
Not. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Which of the following words does not refer to the blue portion of the American flag? Canton, field, fly, or union? So I have four choices. Mm-hmm. Canton, field, fly, or union.
Okay. It's not field because those are white stars on a blue field.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It probably isn't union because I feel like union, like that represents like, cause those 50
stars,
those are the 50 states of the union. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Canton and
I think Canton is similar to field. I might be wrong, but
it makes me think it's fly. Like those stripes are
guys,
maybe about flying.
So you guys want to go
agree
with fly?
Dana.
Yeah, let's go with fly for $500.
Canton is so hard that's probably related to the stars.
You guys are correct.
Yay!
Good reasoning. Good work.
What is a canton?
I thought
probably
it was a province. Here, let's
see.
Well, so these terms all have very specific meaning in like flags and heraldry and things
like that. Right, yeah.
I see.
Oh, it's a rectangular area at the top hoist corner of a flag. So the stars are in the canton.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. All right. Purple Wedge, the term power lunch was coined by an editor at Esquire magazine to describe the lunch scene at which New York restaurant?
Huh.
Specific restaurant.
Chris.
Sardi's.
Incorrect.
Nah.
Power lunch.
Yeah, okay.
New
Probably,
York
what
restaurant.
What do you guys think? 90s? What do you guys think?
80s.
80s. 80s. Oh, yeah, 80s.
All right.
80s.
New
yeah.
York 80s.
It is also a hotel.
Huh.
The Ritz or no, Four Seasons maybe?
Correct. It is Four Seasons Landscaping. No, I'm kidding. It's Four Seasons. Power Lunch at the Four Seasons.
Really? Wow. Okay. Yeah. Coined. That's a good one to file away.
Green Wedge for science. What are the four C's of diamond grading?
Oh.
How about we each say one?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Cut.
Carrot.
Clarity, I believe. Mm-hmm.
And then color.
That's it.
Okay, I'm going to flip it. Yay!
When my wife and I were dating and we were in Paris at one point. We walked by, I think, probably Tiffany's or something like that. And she saw the window display and she was like, hey, so like the best kind of engagement ring diamond, in my opinion, is this called the princess. It's this cut. Just saying. This is the best kind.
For yes. No reason whatsoever.
Right, yes, yeah, no reason. I think this is the best kind of cut.
Last question, Orange Wedge. The catchy bluegrass tune Rocky Top is played at every football game for which Division I university? Colin.
I'm going to either make some people very happy or very angry with me, but this is a college related. Sports. I think, and I hope I'm right here. I think it's University of Tennessee.
Correct.
Woo!
Yay!
Okay. All right.
Nice.
All right. Guy to the rest. Yeah.
Those are the questions where when we're at trivia, like whether we get it right or whether we get it wrong, there is no debate. It's just like, Colin, what do you think it is? University. Okay, put it down.
Let's
move on.
It's better than nothing.
No amount of talking is going to help at all.
I could say like University of Tubasee, and you'd be guys like, I don't think that's a state, but let's just, let's try it. Let's try
it. It could be a city. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys, today is episode 210, and every fifth episode we bring our own quizzes and we make up our own little tests to quiz each other and to quiz you guys, listeners. So today, episode 2010, it's our All Quiz Bonanza number 42. Woo! Meaning of life. And speaking of life, it is a special day today. It is our own Chris's birthday.
It is.
We're recording. Yay.
You're recording this on my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I did not make a quiz for your birthday.
That's fine. That's fine. I wouldn't expect that at all. It's a pandemic birthday number two, which is we're just sort of rolling with it.
Do you mind telling us how old you turned today?
I do mind. I'm 41. Okay. No,
why?
I turned. No. It's fine. No, I'm just kidding. I turned 41. Yeah. So since it's my birthday, I'm going to go first with my quiz. That's
yay.
Right. So one thing that's happened since we've been on the extended break we took from doing this podcast has probably affected all of our lives in a profound, meaningful, very deep way. I don't know about you, but has been the advent of Disney Plus. Which, I mean, not only do we get access to all of the great Disney animated movies and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but also everything else Disney ever made also.
And the Star Wars universe.
And the Star Wars universe. And then just a pile. I was watching, I think I was joking about this, but we were watching the Ewok Adventure, made-for-TV movie, and I'm looking at this and Wilford Brimley is in this, and I'm like, well, this is an old movie. How old was Wilford Brimley? And I do a quick check, and it turns out that if you put Wilford Brimley was just on this side of 49 years old, he was 49 in that movie. And I turned to my wife and I, as we're watching his scene, and I'm like, he and I, he in this movie and I now are in the same decade of life.
And Wilford Brimley, I know him as just kind of a stereotypical old guy actor, famously in Cocoon. Like for me, it's Cocoon is, and I think he was like in ads or something.
Diabetes.
But yeah, he was. Yeah, so I mean, he was old. You wouldn't have guessed that he was in his 40s if you look at Ewok Adventure. He looks like he's in his 60s.
He was old. He was old young.
Life was harder then, I think. I don't know, he just aged a lot harder.
He looks like Colonel Sanders, yeah.
So anyway, that's sort of vaguely related to this quiz. That was just more sort of an aside. But, you know, what you can also watch on Disney Plus is not only Disney's classic animated features, but also Disney's classic live action movies going all the way back. And what I decided to do was to, I wanted to do a Disney quiz, but this is going to be a quiz about live action Disney films. And these are, I'm going to give you the year, and I'm going to give you a plot summary of the film, and you are going to buzz in with your partner.
All right.
Tell me, what is the movie that I am describing?
And this is spanning, decades.
This is spanning decades. This is spanning from the 1950s to the 2010s. But I'm going to give you the year so you can kind of pinpoint it. So here's how it breaks down. 1994, a child asks God to help a baseball team win, and God says, okay.
Is Angel in the outfield? Is that it? Angels in the outfield?
Yeah,
Angels in the outfield?
Okay. Yeah. The judges, it is angels, plural, in the outfield. Okay. Judges say you can have that one. Okay, yes.
You know, I was maybe an extra in that movie.
Oh, you think?
Oh, at the Oakland Coliseum. Yeah.
Oh, and you were in the Coliseum at the time?
Yeah, but I don't know if I actually, I don't think I was in any of the shots.
Right.
But I did try.
Did your best. That's fun.
Now, Chris, tell me, is it or is it not the case that at the time that movie was made, Disney owned the Angels baseball team?
Oh, I'm not actually sure about that.
Is it before or after?
Let's check, shall we? Disney Angel.
It was right around that time, I think.
I mean, they're just they're certainly like, never going to shy away from synergy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's also Mighty Ducks and the Anaheim.
It was acquired in '96, so actually, no, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So the movie came out first.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was actually a remake of a movie titled Angels in the Outfield by Disney from the '60s. In fact, a lot of these are actually remakes.
A young Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
Okay. 1989. Darling, my marvelous new invention has had detrimental effects on our children. Karen.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Good job. 1976. A mother and daughter get a glimpse at each other's lives for just 24 hours. I think it was Karen again.
Freaky Friday.
It's
Jodie Foster.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, and Haley Mills as her mom.
Is that right?
Not Lindsay Lohan.
You guys are throwing these out and I'm like, is that true? It looks like Jodie Foster, but I don't think it was Haley Mills in Freaky Friday. Haley Mills is in a lot of Disney movies. Trap. We got a couple of Haley Mills movies coming up. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Maybe this might be a little bit tougher for you. 1975. A pair of psychic kids must outrun an evil millionaire, the cops, and an angry mob as they attempt to reunite with their family.
Psychic siblings.
Dana.
Escape from which mountain?
You were kind of around it. Escape to which mountain?
Okay.
Yes. Like how?
I found it so stressful. I couldn't watch it, but it was always on TV, and I was just like, "Oh, this movie again!" Like
things are so bad. They had to escape to which mountain? The kids are kidnapped, and it's bad. All right. 1968, a race car driver befriends a Volkswagen Beetle with a mind of its own. That was Dana.
Herbie Unloaded or Herbie. Herbie Finds Love.
I can't give it to you. Colin.
Is that Herbie the Love Bug?
The original 1968 film was titled The Love Bug.
Herbie's and, not even in it.
He was named Herbie, but yeah. So I think later remakes, possibly starring Lindsay Lohan, may have been called Herbie. Yeah.
One of the sequels I remember as a kid was Herbie Goes Bananas. That was, I think we had that one on VHS in my family. We
like
saw that one.
The car?
Yeah. It was called like Herbie Goes Bananas.
It have like a chimp in it or a
70s animal was, a, was definitely a good decade if you were a chimp actor for sure. Yeah.
BJ.
Yeah.
BJ the chimp.
Or you know, orangutan as well. Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to do a quiz here.
Sorry.
1961. The villainous Barnaby tries to break up the impending marriage of Mary Contrary and Tom Piper.
Oh.
You've heard of it, but maybe you don't know what actually happens in it. Karen.
Babes in Toyland?
Babes in Toyland is it. There you go.
That was pulled out of a hole.
It was difficult to summarize the plot of this movie because the plot is all over the place and I'm not even sure they quite know what the plot is. Also in 1961, big year, two teens meet at summer camp to discover that they are identical twins. Dana.
Parent Trap.
That's the Parent Trap. There we go.
Krista, was Haley Mills in that one by any chance?
She may have been. She was. Okay. She was in it twice. She was in it twice. They gave her, they had to give her two Oscars because that's, that was the rule. Also in 1961, big year. A chemist invents a substance that defies all the laws of physics. Colin.
Is that Flubber?
It is not.
Oh, no, again, I'm going for the remake. Was it the Nutty Professor?
It is not. You're still wrong.
Still wrong.
Karen?
The absent-minded professor.
That's it. The absent-minded professor. Exactly. The remake was called Flubber. This is a Herbie the Love Bug situation again. Right. Okay. 2008. A pampered pup is dog-napped in Mexico.
That's an 8.
Carol.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
It is Beverly Hills Chihuahua. 1959, a cursed ring once owned by the Borgia family transforms a teenage boy into a canine. Yes, that's right. They got the Borgias in here somehow.
Is it the shaggy dog?
It's the shaggy dog. It's the shaggy dog. Yes. 1957, the moral of this story is do not get rabies. Karen?
Is it Cujo?
It's not Cujo. That was a Stephen King.
Is this Old Yeller?
This is Old Yeller.
Old
Yeller.
Yeah.
What I didn't know, because I have not actually seen this full movie, is that I always, the title, the name of the dog, Old Yeller, is because Yeller for yellow, right?
Yeah.
But also, it's because he yells a lot.
Yeah.
It actually is both.
I read this book, I think for a book report at one point, and it was one of those I didn't know what was coming. And you know, I get to the end, it's not a long book. I get to the end, I'm like, what the heck, man?
Spoiler alert.
For me it was Where the Red Fern Grows. Oh man, and as a kid you're like, oh cute, and then you're like, oh my god, now I'm an adult.
It's taken me to become an adult to trust anything with animals, because so many of the things with animals were about killing them
The funny thing about so you mentioned it was based on a book, and I learned as I was putting this quiz together, the movie came out, as I said, 1957 was the movie. The book came out in 1956.
Which means
that this book came out and they were like, this is hot. The film rights to this right away. Lock them down. Okay. Let's see. 1960. Not even temporary paraplegia can keep this girl from looking on the sunny side of life.
Oh, God. Yes.
Dana.
Pollyanna?
Pollyanna. Yeah. Pollyanna.
Was like, the remake had Rudy in it.
Yeah.
You mean Sean Astin? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Rudy from the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
Oh, Keisha.
Keisha Knight-Pulliam.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't even know that. Also 1960, big year. Shipwrecked by pirates, a dad, mom, and three sons build a new life on a deserted island. That sounded like Dana.
Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah, Swiss Family Robinson. I loved this movie. We saw this one a lot as a kid.
What happens at the end? Did they get rescued or did it just live there?
They all got rabies.
they all had to shoot each other.
Yeah.
I know the ending is some of them leave, but some of them stay to form a new colony on the island.
Okay.
With their own family members?
Well, I'm sure they would bring more people in because otherwise it'd get pretty weird.
pretty fast.
So pretty weird, pretty quick. 1980, folks.
Okay.
1980. Teams of just, there's just 15 more of these left. No. This is three more. 1980. Teams of players compete to solve logic puzzles in an all-night race around Los Angeles.
Oh.
Oh.
Is this the Midnight Run?
Close.
I've seen this one, but I cannot remember the name.
This was on HBO like every day in the 1980s.
Yeah.
This probably inspired my love of escape rooms and puzzle hunts and stuff like that. Because I watched this movie
dreaming of
getting to do this. It's alliterative. It's alliterative, so.
Midnight Madness?
That's it. Midnight Madness. Oh, yes.
Wow. I have not thought about this in a long time.
If you listen to Good Job, Brian, and you have not seen Midnight Madness, I think you need to.
I'm going to go watch it.
You really should. 2013, a children's book author butts heads with an animator as he seeks the film rights to her work. Karen.
Saving Mr. Banks.
Excellent work on that one. Yes.
Emma Thompson is the author of Mary Poppins, and the whole movie is about Disney trying to acquire the rights to her books. Turns out she's a real piece of work.
Right. Unlike noted, very normal person Walt Disney.
Right. who was played in the movie as like a very normal person.
I mean, who made this movie? Yeah.
And finally, we're finally here. 2001, a gawky teen discovers that she is in fact heir to the throne of a fictional European country. Colin, I think.
I'm surprised too, but I think this is the Princess Diaries.
Yeah,
the Princess Diaries. Did I get it right?
Two movies I thought would be on here were Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, yep. Okay.
And The Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
I thought those would pop up too.
Oh, okay.
I remember Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Let me explain to you why neither of those are on the list. So Flight of the Navigator was distributed by Disney's Buena Vista Pictures in the United States. Where it wasn't made by Disney. Bedknobs and Broomsticks, a big favorite of mine, is a hybrid movie. It is a hybrid of live action and animation, which is an entirely separate category itself.
Okay.
Perhaps even fodder for a future quiz.
You had a hybrid animation quiz already on the show.
Karen, who can keep track of? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
One day we're gonna accidentally do like the same quiz or something.
Same quiz.
For sure could happen. Yeah.
Highly likely.
Good job, Chris. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed it. My birthday present to you.
Well, speaking of birthdays, it is your birthday, and it got me. Actually, it was your birthday inspired me to write this quiz. It got me thinking of units of time. So here I've crafted a couple of questions. There are very weird terms to describe different units of time. We're going to go in order from shortest to longest about some of these strange words for units of time. All right, this is a buzzin' quiz.
Okay.
Though we use it casually to describe a quick second, this unit of time technically represents 1/50th or 1/60th of a second in electronics. Also kind of sounds like peanut butter.
A Jiffy?
It is a Jiffy. J-I-F-F-Y. Official term to describe 1/50th or 1/60th.
Really? Interesting.
Of a second.
I like that.
All right. Here we go. K Kelly Clarkson famously sang about this unit of time, an old medieval term for 1/40th of a solar hour on a sundial.
Kelly Clarkson.
Dana.
A moment?
Correct. It is a moment.
A moment like this.
Some people wait a lifetime. Yeah. So moment, yeah. I think it roughly translates to like 90 seconds.
Huh. Ah, that's good to know.
It's time to bash some llama pinatas. If I invite you to play Fortnite with me in a fortnight on May 1st, what date will we be playing it on? Dana.
Is it May 15th?
Correct. May 15th. A fortnight. Yeah. N-I-G-H-T is 14 days or 2 weeks. Good job. Tell me, what is the very timely term for 40 days?
40 days.
It's very related to our global predicament. It is a term we hear probably almost every day for the past year.
Really? Is it a pandemic?
No, it is not. It is not a pandemic. But you're close.
Almost every length of time.
Chris. Oh, I know now.
Sweatpants.
Quarantine?
Yeah.
It is a quarantine.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
There we go.
Which makes a lot of sense now. Quarantine, Italian for 40 days, because back when you were sick, you had to wait 40 days. So that is a quarantine.
Right. All right. That's great.
A biennium is 2 years. Triennium is 3 years. What is a lustrum?
Whoa.
What is a lustrum? Colin, you have a guess.
Oh, go ahead. Well, I'll take another hint if you want to give me. I'll guess.
Well, it's named after lustration, which sounds very sensual, but it is not. Lustration is an animal sacrifice.
Oh, ooh. I was going to guess 10 years.
It is 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And why lustration is related to this, because the ancient Romans, they would take census every 5 years, and they would couple it with an animal sacrifice. So that the term just kind of bled into, a lustrum is 5 years for the animal sacrifice.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, that's when I do my animal sacrifice is when I fill out my census. Yeah. So that's good.
All right. So we have talked about Chris's birthday. How many years is Chris away from a jubilee? Colin.
Nine.
Correct. It is 9 years. He's 41, and a jubilee is 50 years, I think.
Oh, sweet.
We mostly hear about jubilee, Cherry's jubilee.
The queen's jubilee.
Yes. The cherry jubilees is because it was for Queen Victoria's 50th jubilee.
Oh, is that right?
Hence Cherry's jubilee, yeah. Here we go. The last question in my time unit quiz. The MTV generation would remember this sci-fi cartoon, later a feature film starring Charlize Theron, whose title includes a term to describe a billion years. Oh. Ooh, Chris.
Eon Flux.
Correct. Aeon. Eon.
Aeon.
A equals 10 to the ninth, which is a billion years. Good job, everybody.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, guys. I don't know about you, but I've gotten really into reality shows this year. I think I just really miss seeing people. So I've gotten super into watching people get up to stuff. So I made a quiz about reality shows. You know, there are a lot of very famous people who came from reality shows. Don't list them because they might be on the quiz. So I'm going to give you an achievement that this person had, and then you tell me who they are and what show they came from. So this is a write-down quiz. Everybody have your pen and paper ready. Question number one. She won the 2019 Rapper of the Year Grammy Award. She's a reality show. She's got her star on a reality show.
2019. Yes. Huh. 22 years ago.
So who is it and what show they
are from for a bonus point? Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Huh. All right. Well, you're live crossing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've got Nicki Minaj for the answer, but if that's even correct, I have no guess for what show she might have been on or who this person, whoever it is.
On second thought, it may be too early in her career to be winning the Rapper of the Year award, but I wrote down, because I really desperately want it to be true, I wrote down Bad Baby and Dr. Phil. But I'm
that
I'm
would
pretty
be
sure
really good.
So I'm pretty sure it's Cardi B. Yes. And I can't remember. I know she was on a show and she was an aspiring rapper on the reality show. I put Basketball Wives.
She was on Love and Hip Hop New York. She was on the sixth season of that. And then she put out Bodak Yellow and it was a massive hit. Okay, this next celebrity was assistant to the president and the director of communications for the Office of Public Liaison in 2017. She had a high-ranking government position in 2017.
Oh my god!
This is I don't want to write down Bad Baby again, but but it's possible I might.
Okay. You ready, Colin?
Yeah, yeah. I put down Omarosa Manigault, and she was on The Apprentice.
I also wrote down Omarosa The Apprentice. I didn't get her last name.
I wrote Omarosa The Apprentice. What's her last name officially?
Manigault.
Newman.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yes, she was married. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes, in the White House. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she worked there for 1 year, and then she left, and then she went to, or she was fired, and then she went to, and then she went to Celebrity Big Brother, and she did really well on Celebrity Big Brother.
Mm. Wow.
How about this one? She won the 2006 Best Supporting Actress Oscar. It's kind of a double. Do you know who won the Oscar in
2006.
I left this one like this because we are hardcore about memorizing Oscar.
Yeah,
people.
No, yeah. Man. Best supporting actor.
I got you guys. Also, I think this is something that Chris would know as well.
Oh, probably.
That's my hint.
Jennifer Hudson, right?
Yes.
And the show, what show was she on? Dang it.
All right, Chris's turn. Right.
So fortunately, at the absolute last second, I wrote down Jennifer Hudson, who was on American Idol.
Yes. Oh, Jennifer Hudson, American Idol. She didn't win.
No,
she did not. No, none of the good people who, not good people, but like, you know, the people who become like the absolute most successful generally don't win. Except for Carrie Underwood won, but like Jennifer Hudson did not win. Yeah.
Okay. How about this one? He is the co-host / sidekick on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
No guess.
He's also on her other game show. Karen looks happy.
I'm very satisfied.
Reality show. So a former reality show person, now the co-host sidekick on multiple Ellen shows.
Mm-hmm. This guy messed up my Google searches a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm just going to go for a half point here and just try and guess the show. I have no idea who this person might be, but I'll guess that he was on America's Got Talent.
Nope.
Okay.
Chris.
Good try.
I have no idea. I put William Hung from American Idol. You know, the guy who sang She Bangs. I figured
he'd
be really good on Ellen.
I wrote the dancer Twitch, and he originally came from So You Think You Can Dance.
Yes. Twitch from So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, of course she would pick a dancer, right?
Yeah, right. Real charming. He's real good. He's a great dancer, yeah. Okay, next one. He made his feature film debut in Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk, and as of 2019, he has the biggest first week sales by an English male artist in history.
Okay. I'll go for half point here. So I'm pretty sure that's Harry Styles, and I didn't know he was on a show, so I'll guess Britain's Got Talent.
Harry Styles, that's not the show. Chris, do you have it?
So yeah, I wrote Harry Styles. Uh-huh. Is it America's Got Talent?
No.
What was
British Idol?
I locked this down. Harry Styles, X Factor.
X Factor.
Yeah. That was it. It was the American Idolist show where you could also be, they would group people up into groups, yep. right?
Yes.
So he was one of the people, One Direction exactly. was comprised of five separate individual auditions grouped in a group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Just a few more. In 2016, she authored the novel Rebels, City of Indra. And in 2018, she was the highest paid supermodel in the world.
Oh, can you repeat
yes.
the question?
So in 2016, she co-authored the novel Rebels, City of Indra. And in 2018, she was the highest paid supermodel in the world.
Oh.
Ooh, this is stumping me.
I'm ashamed to admit that I believe I'm in the right universe on this one. Okay. I'm virtually positive this is from the Keeping Up with the Kardashians universe.
Yes.
And it's one of the Jenners. Is it Kylie Jenner? Is there a Kylie? No. Is it Ken? Ah, oh, it's the other one.
Kylie Jenner.
All right. Okay.
It's not
all right.
Kylie.
I did not write. I don't any of this.
Kendall Jenner and Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
That's where she
got it. Why we're a team.
Let's review oldest to youngest Kardashian family of children of that generation. Oldest to youngest. Can you guys do it?
Yeah.
Well,
okay. Yeah. Dana, go for it.
Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Robert, Kendall, Kylie.
Correct.
There you go. Amazing.
This is, you know, I'm sure I've forgotten something important about math in order to remember that.
So Rob is like before the Jenners and after the first three sisters.
The Rob line.
Okay. How about this one? In 2020, she and her husband founded Archwell, a philanthropic organization.
Oh, I see what you did. That's good.
So it's a pun of some
these
kind.
These are like world famous people.
She and her husband, reality show.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
And this just happened in 2020.
I'm locked in.
I don't know. I don't know. I'll guess Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. And I don't know what show she might have been on, but I know she's been on a bunch of shows.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll take that.
No. That's, yes. Chris?
I guess Meghan Markle. And I don't know what show she was on, so I just put Dr. Phil again. Maybe she was a rebellious teen. I don't
know.
I put Meghan Markle, and she was a suitcase girl on Deal or No Deal.
Oh, yes. That's right. You told us that, I think. That's right.
She did it. She did 34 episodes of Deal or No Deal. She was on one episode of One Versus 100 before that. Okay, last one. He has been the lead vocalist of Queen since 2011.
Oh,
yeah.
We'll end on a high.
All right. Well, since I don't go first, I don't need to write it down.
Okay.
I believe that's Adam Lambert, and I think he was an American Idol player person.
Yeah. That's what I put.
Adam Lambert, American Idol. And I believe that, in fact, he lost.
First runner-up, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. All the most successful people don't win.
Yeah, and then you're on tour with Queen, man. I mean,
yeah. You're like, yeah, Freddie Mercury, okay.
Yeah.
America said no. Great job, you guys. There's like a lot of people who came from reality
shows. I did not know a lot of those people were on like reality show in their earlier. But as you say, like it's a pipeline to fame these days, Karen. So I guess it shouldn't surprise me.
There's an old Price is Right clip of a young Aaron Paul as a very excited contestant. And,
my dad was on Price is Right.
What?
I forgot to tell you this.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's great.
Do you have a clip?
Yes. It
your
was
dad
like a
Veterans has the,
Day special.
Your dad He's has the so perfect true. Energy. Oh, your dad has yeah. the perfect
oh
energy
my
for
God,
Price is Right.
Your dad would be so cute.
He's really cute on it.
Did he win?
No.
Oh.
It was like it was really overwhelming to all.
Oh,
he didn't
sure,
think
yeah.
he was going to get
sure.
picked. Oh, I was like, we didn't think you were going to get picked. You get picked for everything every single time we go anywhere.
Oh, God, that's so cute.
That's so cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I have a quiz for you guys called The Long and the Short of It. And this quiz, no surprise, maybe knowing me, is a word nerd quiz. Quiz is about clipped words. Clipped words also, you may know them more informally, just shortened words. Or, you know, some people call them abbreviations. You know, it's not really right, but an example would be instead of calling it an airplane, I call it a plane. Instead of calling it a telephone, I call it a phone. So we use these all the time, of course. I mean, in fact, we have many words where the clipped word or the shortened word has replaced really the longer word. Yeah, yeah. You can kind of break down some of these words into sort of different buckets. And there's one bucket where, you know, like if I say lab or laboratory, you know, you're not necessarily going to think funny. Or if I say mayo or mayonnaise, you don't necessarily look at me weird. But like if I say, oh, Karen, I'm going to the gymnasium tomorrow, you know, you're like, you're going where? If you're talking about, you know, I don't wear a bra, but I imagine that if you're talking to your lady friends about a brassiere, boy, you know, I got a new brassiere the other day and it fits so well. The last brassiere, it was just so uncomfortable. And people would look at you.
That's what my aunt does say.
She says
brassiere. Yeah.
So that's great. That's great. For like an auntie, you know, it totally fits. And, you know, some of these words, there's kind of like a formal casual distinction where if a newscaster, like if I say, you know, bicycle versus bike, you might look at me weird. But if a newscaster or a police officer says bicycle instead of bike, you know what I mean?
It's more proper.
And then you get into, sort of like, you know, Mr. Burns level, you know, where it's like, you would stand out saying the longer version. So I have a quiz for you guys. And the nut of the quiz, in case you haven't figured it out by now, is I'm going to give you the clipped or the short word, and you're going to give me the longer word. I have tried to arrange these to start off very easy, and we will get into big brain zone at the end here.
That's what my mom, whose English is her second language, more so than mine, she calls Good Job Brain big brain. And she goes, Meme, little sister, Meme, big brain. Big brain show.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, all right. Well, in the spirit of big brains, well, here, let's tell you what, let's start with a few super easy just to get your brain juices flowing. I will call out the short word. You guys just shout out the long word.
Then
we'll move into buzzer territory after
Okay.
So just a few, just
like warm up. Drills.
Yeah, warm up. Exactly. I hope you know all these. If you guys don't know these, then we're in big trouble. All right. Limo.
Yeah, we're just saying it out loud.
Yeah, limousine.
Limousine.
Dorm.
Dormitory.
Ammo.
Ammunition.
Lunch. I'm going to have some lunch.
Luncheon.
Very good. Okay. Get your buzzers ready. As I say, I have tried to arrange these in increasing order of difficulty. We shall see. Flu. I think all of you there, but let's go with Dana.
Influenza.
Yeah, influenza. This is a great word story, by the way. Do you guys know why the flu? Why influenza? Do you know where that name comes from? It basically goes back to medieval Latin in old influentia, like the idea being that you were influenced by, you know, astral movements. I mean, it's influenza. Yeah. Stereo. Karen.
I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah, you should do it.
Stereophonic?
Correct, yes.
Stereophonic.
Stereophonic, that's right. Stereophonic sound, if you really want to get... Yeah, which, you know, and the root stere or stereo comes from Greek, stereos. So kind of the sense is like, solid or three-dimensional. So three-dimensional sound kind of
makes sense.
In that word root, yeah, solid, firm, three-dimensional, yeah. And so stereophonic sound, you know, basically just two or more microphones to kind of set up to replicate your two ears. Memo. Oh, I think Chris on that one, let's say.
Memorandum.
Correct, memorandum. Latin for thing to be remembered. In the context of a movie or TV, props. You got a prop, like a prop gun or a prop bottle. Chris again.
Property.
It is the property.
Oh, yeah.
Props, the properties. And you might still, in fact, you might still refer to a property master in some show production. All right. The piano, the instrument. Piano is, in fact, short for...
What
word? Dana, let's say, on that one.
Pianoforte?
Correct. That's right. Mm-hmm. The original word, piano. And, you know, we've been shortening this one for a while. You know, mm-hmm. as people, we like to shorten things.
Are there other, like, other models?
No, the original term of the instrument.
Oh,
in fact,
my
goodness. The full, proper, correct name, if you will, that is the pianoforte. The soft loud, the quiet loud. At least as far back as the 1800s, been shortening pianoforte.
I had no idea.
As my wife said, we're saying the quiet part loud, and I like that. All right, let's move into some vehicles here. Bus. I'm going to catch the bus. What is bus a shortening for? Let's go with Chris on that one. Chris, what is
auto,
bus?
Auto bus. Short...
I'm sorry, Chris. No? I'm not able to give you that
one.
That's
what my guess was. Bus?
No. This
autobus?
Is the word. It is a well-known, certainly a known word.
Okay. Let's work together.
Bustagram.
There are not. Let me put it this way: there are not a whole lot of words in English that end in bus.
Busadrome.
Omnibus.
Yes, it is omnibus. Is short for omnibus in the sense of it is a conveyance for all. It is a common carriage, and that sense kind of carries through to sort of how we use omnibus these days. That's right.
Yep.
Next one, van. What is van a shortening for?
Oh, never mind.
Dana? Chris, you got a guess there? Chris, van.
Caravan.
It is, in fact, a shortening from caravan.
Oh, my God. I thought it was going to be minivan. I was like, no.
Caravan. If you get a new job, in addition to your salary, you might brag about the perks that you get with the job. What is perks short for? Chris, with the buzz
perquisites.
In. It is short for perquisites.
Wait, what are those?
Word. Perquisites.
Perks.
Yeah, you
wait,
know.
How do I spell it?
Per like requisite, but perquisite. Per Q U I S I T. No, not prerequisite.
Oh my God, this is a word.
Perquisite. Basically, meaning any property that you get that isn't your wages. So any kind of gain or fee on top of your original wages. And this is a very, very old word, back to at least the mid 1500s.
Holy.
Okay.
Cold brew
coffee. We are now entering Big Brain Zone.
The All Big right. Brain Show.
Big Brain Show. Okay. Now, I am not tricking you guys, but just, you know, just okay. Open your minds. Open your minds.
Okay.
All right.
You call a policeman a cop. What is cop shortening from? A cop. I'm going to call the cops. And I want to tell you, this one might be hiding in plain sight. If you think about your crime story knowledge.
The copper?
Yes, cop is shortened from copper, not the other way around.
Okay.
I always thought you won't catch me, coppers. But
like
no.
The element?
No. There is, in fact, the verb cop, meaning
to catch
to grab
somebody.
Or to take hold of.
The one who
That's
cops.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. Go back to vehicles here for a moment. Cab. Catch a cab. Chris, no surprise, maybe the old-timey word specialist here. What is cab short for?
Cabriolet.
That is correct. Cab is short for cabriolet. This is one of my favorites, which really just meant, you know, like a light, you know, horse-drawn carriage originally. That's... All right, two more here.
You got to say it like that too. Cab.
Cab. Yeah, go to do the New York there.
Cab.
Decal. What is decal a shortening
Whoa,
of? This
on,
one again,
on.
A very old word. This is a fun one to say. It goes back to the 1860s.
Like, decal
at least.
You put on windows. You take it off. Decalibration. Maybe.
This one comes from a craze in decal technology in the 1800s.
Is it décolletage or something like that? No.
You're in the right ballpark, but no, that is not it.
That's not it.
Decal is a shortening for decalcomania.
Oh.
Decalcomania.
That's not in the punch bowl for me. Decalcomania.
Yeah. Decal. Which itself was a borrowed word from the French, basically decalcomanie, meaning the same thing. In the 1800s, there was a fad when they invented the process of transferring designs from the special paper to glass or ceramics. Man, people went nuts because you could now, it was like you could print on glass or print on ceramics. Yeah. And so, there was a craze in France, the decalcomanie craze. And we picked up the word in English, decalcomania. All right, last one.
That is big brain.
We started. I think my first example was plane and airplane. So we're going to end here with a plane-based word here. You go to get on the plane, and before you take off, you're sitting on the tarmac. Hopefully, you're not sitting there for very long. What is tarmac? A shortening of Karen. Confidently, what is tarmac short for?
This was named after a person, Mr. Tarmac Carthy, or something similar to
Mr.
Tarmac.
You're in the ballpark.
There's a word for the predecessor to asphalt, something like that, which is macadam. So is it tar macadam, or is it more than that?
Chris,
or is it not that at all?
On the nose, tarmac Adam. That's right.
Okay,
tarmac Adam, the namesake for Scottish civil engineer John McAdam, developed the process basically of leveling roads and paving them with gravel. And he originally did not come up with the idea of like mixing it with tar or other things, but yeah, that's today. Like a macadamized road would be binder.
His name is not tar.
His name is not tar, but the
tar macadam.
Macadamia nut.
Oh, can I say that macadamia nuts were named for a Scottish person named John McAdam, but a different John McAdam.
Different guy.
Like from around the same period too.
Yeah, that blew my mind learning about macadamia nut, because like just as you say macadamia, it sounds vaguely Hawaiian, you know, like a different language, and turns out it's not macadamia, it's macadam nut.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay.
Of course, it's also the most ridiculous thing, because I'm not really sure how the name got applied to it, but it's like somebody just sort of shows up and he's just like, oh, look at these nuts. I'll name these after myself. No,
I just Wikipedia'd it.
It's from Australia.
Because I was like, isn't it macadam? And it's a German-Australian botanist. He gave it that name in honor of a Scottish-Australian chemist named John
McAdam. So it's not even his own just, name. It's someone
just
else's.
Like, oh, this guy was cool. Named the nuts for him.
All right. Good job, everybody. And I'll wrap up our Meaning of Life All Quiz Bonanza with this last quiz. And it was inspired by, I think a couple of years ago, we're looking through job applicants and different applications. One candidate had an unusual name. The name is three first names. And so my coworker is like, oh, it's a triple firsty. And I was like, and I thought that was so funny. And so here I have a quiz. Somehow in the 90s, the 90s and aughts was a prime time for actors with their full names composed of three first names. Some of them are TV actors, some of them are movie actors. So I'll list their character name and the movie they're from. And you buzz in at any time when you think you know who this triple firsty is.
The triple firsty.
Okay.
Okay.
So here we go. Chester from Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh.
Oh.
Ooh. Chris Kohler, you buzzed in first.
Sean William Scott.
Correct. It is Sean William Scott. My next clues are Bo from Dukes of Hazzard and Steve Stifler from American Pie. And one thing to add is some of these actors are you might know them from TV, but I'm only listing movies. And if we still can't get it, I'll list the TV show they're on. But like, you know, with TV actors in the movies they're in, they're not going to be like big blockbuster movies. Like this one, for example. Cody from The Bigfoot, The Unforgettable Encounter. Rob from First Kid. I believe that was with Sinbad. Any ideas? This guy did not have any other. Okay.
The only thing that fired even a single neuron was Sinbad.
He was Brad from the TV show Home Improvement.
Okay.
Dana.
Is that Zachary Ty Bryant?
Correct. It is Zachary Ty Bryan. All right, here we go. We got Sean William Scott, Zachary Ty Bryan.
Oh, geez.
Josh from Dead Man on Campus. He was Andy, the main character, from American Werewolf in Paris. And he was main character Guy from That Thing You Do.
Oh.
Oh. What's that guy?
He was at the very end of La La Land.
Yep, he was. His name.
His name is
Billy Matthew.
Not Sean William Scott. He is Tom Everett Scott.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Yep.
All right. Wouldn't have had that. He was Ronald in Cruel Intentions as the cello tutor. he was Derek in Save the Last Dance.
Yeah. No. I know.
And then he's credited as, literally as, sassy observation, the other token black guy from Not Another Teen Movie.
I could see his name face.
Is Sean Patrick Thomas.
We should just guess that name like these random.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, I know.
I just have a bowl with a Sean, a Patrick, a Scott, a Thomas pile. I just grabbed three of them. Yeah, Michael.
Here, TV actor, but here are his movie credits. He was Jake in I'll Be Home for Christmas. He played Tom Sawyer in Tom and Huck. And he was Simba in The Lion King. All right, Chris Kohler.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Along
JTT
with his
himself. Yeah, with his on-screen brother.
Yep. Zachary Ty Bryan. Okay. A couple more here. He was Henry in Rookie of the Year.
What's that guy's name?
Was Calvin in A Kid in King Arthur's Court.
Oh, man, I can picture the kid.
He grew up to be casted as Kevin in American Pie.
Yeah.
Along with Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
What the heck is his name?
Oh, I can see his face.
His name is Thomas Ian Nicholas.
Yes.
You know, we're going to step out. I have two more. They're not really in the 90s realm. They're a little bit more recent, but also triple firsties. He played, this is a TV actor, but he was in a couple movies. He was Nick in House of Wax, also along Paris Hilton, I believe her first movie role. He was Jake in Freaky Friday, the Lindsay Lohan version.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis. Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
I wish I thought of that for a future episode.
That's all right. I'm sure there's a lot more out there. And send all your triple firsties to Karen.
He played Austin in Cinderella's Story alongside Hilary Duff. But he was more known for One Tree Hill.
Mm.
His name
Patrick.
is Chad Michael Murray.
Yes.
All right. This quiz is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. All right, we're going to end the show.
I feel like if I was 4 years younger, some of these would be
in your conscious area. Yeah. In 2009, the film Zack Snyder's The Watchmen, the movie, featured two triple firsties actors.
Oh, yeah.
As Rorschach and the comedian. What are their names?
Oh, okay. So,
I can also help with hints on what they...
No, they okay. Well, also, all right. Okay. Let me just talk it through here and see if it comes to me. Okay. So Rorschach, who was a child actor, right, was Jackie Earle Haley. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Wow. Correct. He was in Bad News Bears.
And comedian. Oh, man. He's on Walking Dead now. What? I'm blanking on his name. Oh, he's
on
great.
Grey's Anatomy.
Give me his first name.
He was also on Supernatural.
Oh, he's fantastic. What's his name?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Correct.
Right? Or no.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Thank you. Yeah, he's great. Denny. He's a great bad guy. He's a great bad guy.
All right.
He's a great ghost boyfriend.
and a ghost dad. All right. Good job, big brains. Also related, my mom would like take pictures of mustache things and send it to me. She goes, big brain. Anyways, that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about long and short clipped words, about reality shows, and about Disney live action movies and triple firsties. And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and on all podcast apps. And on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Calling all trivia nerds, Brittany here, and I host the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast with my best friend, Meredith. Is your next car ride looking like a snooze fest? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of awesome trivia every week. Harry Potter, Disney, science, sports, you name it. No more silent car troubles. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Connect, laugh, and learn with your kids, big and small. New episodes every week wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast.